Good morning, church. We have the wonderful blessing every year around this time to receive a couple of interns from Presbyterian University and Theological Seminary, one of the largest seminaries in Korea, indeed around the world. And this year they sent three, not two, so we were extra blessed. And they are all Master of Divinity students. Hemi and Gilhyun are rising second-year MDiv students, and Eunyoung is rising third-year, except she will be going to Honduras for an internship and some mission work there for the next year. So that's very exciting. And she'll be actually leaving directly from here. They've been here with us 3 weeks, and they have one more week with us, but they leave Friday, and so this is her last Sunday. And as is our tradition, it's our treat today to hear their reflections on their time here and what they've experienced in the ministry of our church. It's helpful to us to hear every once in a while what we look like from the outside. It gives us some fresh perspectives. It's also gratifying for me as a pastor of this congregation to have a role in shaping future Christian leaders from around the world. That's a real privilege that our church has been given these last few years through our partnership with PUTS in Seoul. So this is not in any particular order. Did the three of you decide who's going to speak first? Gilhyun? All right. Gilhyun also goes by David. Is a rising second-year student. And he has been staying in one of our rooms in the basement. So he's been living in this mansion for the past month. And the two ladies have been staying at the Fink House. So it's been wonderful to have them as part of our community housing arrangement as well.
Good morning, church. Speaking in public, like, you know, with 100-something people in front of me, is not easy. And English is my second language, so it's even harder. So I had to, well, I was a bit worried, concerned, but, you know, this is high-risk, low-anxiety church. So, and also I kind of found confidence and kind of courage from Pastor Jin's preaching back in May of 2016. In Changshin, at my seminary. He was preaching at my seminary, and he had his translator right next to him. But he preached in Korean. He immigrated to the States when he was 7. So he was, you know. Anyways. Yeah, that's what happened. And that gave me a bit of courage. And I could, yeah, you know. What else? I mean, it can't be worse than that, you know. With all due my respect, Pastor Jin, next time when you're preaching, please preach in English. Because his Korean is really good, but his English is a whole lot better, kind of. So bear with me. So here I go. When he was preaching at my school, he was talking about great things about Ken. Most of all, he was talking about multicultural, multi-ethnic ministries that he's doing here. And, well, he never told me about the high-risk, low-anxiety stuff. But anyways, he was really talking about many great things happening at Ken. One thing he mentioned in his sermon was about the sentiment, intimacy, sentiment called chang. Chang is like Korean word for intimacy or really closeness. Because in Korean culture, we really emphasize on this closeness, togetherness. So we even have an ice cream called together. Yeah, that's, seriously, we have ice cream called together. when he was preaching, he was talking about doing communities based on this Chang sentiment of Chang, and I got kind of curious because I couldn't think of any communities, especially in non-Korean community, working on this sentiment, very close intimacy. I thought that was like Korean only kind of thing. So I was a bit suspicious too, because of his Korean, you know. Also, he was talking about social justice issues too, a little bit of social justice. So I was kind of in between of like a little bit of curiosity and a little bit of kind of, curiosity most of all. Because when I was what I expected before I came here was I was expecting a church of somewhat like a little bit cynical but very strongly committed to social justice issues, so I was a bit scared too. But when I came here, what I found was just one big family, just one loving, caring, growing, just one big family. I really didn't expect that to... I couldn't really expect it, because I thought this is something that I could see in kind of Bible or something. What I found was a big extended family with full of laughter, full of life, and full of joy. You guys are sharing everything, except for certain things that you cannot really share. But the most of all, you guys were sharing the most precious thing, which is the life, everyday, ordinary life. I think God works in his extraordinary ways in our very ordinary days. This is, I think, the very thing that Jesus Christ kind of wanted to teach us. He wanted to work in our own lives when we're gathered together, and he works in our relationships so that we could learn and grow from each other. It was like a big family, and being part of it for at least like three weeks was an amazing, great experience for me. And also, it kind of made me to reflect on my family too. I spent some time in the States and Korea, like when I was young. I went to junior high in Iowa. Yeah, well, not much different from here. Also, I went to college in Wisconsin. So I'm pretty much stuck in this Midwest area. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. And now I'm back here again, right? When I was in Wisconsin, I couldn't really graduate. I couldn't finish my undergraduate program. I was on my path to pursue like next level graduate school, but I couldn't push no more, so I was a college dropout. That was my first, deepest, biggest failure of my life. Well, I had some, you know, minor failures before then too, but the thing is, my family is kind of weird. In my family, I have one younger sister, and my dad is a professor. My mom is a doctor, a medical doctor, and my sister is going to be another doctor in like 3 years. So I was like a college dropout in a very kind of academic, achieving family. Well, if I were like, you know, Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg, it's going to be a different story because, you know, but I was just a college dropout without knowing what to do with my life. So I just stopped there. I couldn't push myself no more. I was depressed. I was frustrated. But I could start again because my family was there when I kind of failed at NFL. I mean, that was the deepest, darkest days of my life. But I could start from the very scratch, and I could really found... I think that was the first time that I could rely on my family. Before then, I thought I had to do everything on my own. So it was pretty hard for me, because I had to do everything on my own. So I had my family with me, but I really didn't recognize them as my family. So it was tough for me and tough for them at the same time. So we were kind of hurting each other. I thought that was just my thing. I had to be something. I had to achieve something to be recognized as one of my family. You know, that was a very stupid thing. But when I was at that point, I could start again because, I didn't really know what to do with my life. Just like I was really so frustrated, and you know, it's kind of hard to imagine a college dropout, you know, in a family like this. So I couldn't do anything at all. But what I found was God kind of wanted to work through me, through my family, and through my life. My favorite verse in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. I felt like God was trying to telling me that, I mean, I was desperately seeking God's comfort, but he was actually telling me to comfort others. That was like, come on, what are you doing here, kind of moments, you know. But I was seeking desperately for God's comfort, but he was actually telling me to comfort others. And that was kind of the beginning of my true vocation, which is pastoring and becoming a pastor. That could all start from this, my crisis in my life, but at the same time, I'm sorry. It's okay.
Kilhyun will finish later, yeah. If able. Thank you, Kilhyun. Hemi?
I'd better cry out first and then give... Okay. So nervous here. So, okay. I can't do it. Since I'm not that comfortable with English, so I'm gonna read this script. Please understand me. I'm nervous. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. This is the word of God. Thank God I'm not sleepy at 11 a.m. Even I couldn't sleep last night. And as most of you know, I was suffering from jet lag when I first got here, and but unfortunately I became more sleepy and sleepy as time went on. And I realized that I was exhausted from studies and ministry and too many relationships and parents and in my life. I do appreciate you, Ken, that I could take some deep rest here with the understanding that humans were designed to have Sabbath from the beginning. And I appreciate you for accepting me as I am. I was crazy, sleepy here. And letting me rest as I have had never before. And before coming here, I just started part-time ministry, starting this January, at a multicultural church, ministering to children from mostly biracial marriages in Korea. Let me introduce my students. These are my kids, few in number, less than 10. Except for two of them who are from Honduras, the other students are all biracial Korean kids. Even some of them don't look like Koreans, as their moms are from the Philippines, Vietnam, and Peru. On the day I met them for the first time, my friend had a dream, and I was pregnant in her dream. Since then, I call them my children, even I didn't get married yet. However, after I met my kids, I found myself that I do not know how to love. I was full of fear of loving them, not being able to truly love them in heart and deed, not just by words. Honestly, this internship was a good chance to put some distance from this ministry and think about perfect love that never fails, love that Jesus has shown to us. And to be more specific, I'm the one who has fear of abandonment. As a pastor's kid, I have had many experiences of abandonment. I think my parents' lives were too unstable to give me stable love, and they felt unsafe. I was in fear for my safety, and they paralyzed me from truly loving. But what I have learned from Ken is to love each other without fear. And I have seen that you are practicing how to love each other and how to encourage each other and how to embrace each other as who they are. And I could see that more clearly with Dana's ordination. We are all touched by your love, faith, even jokes. I love your jokes, passion, and Paul Moses. Since I'm living in Pink House. And Dana, if I'm going to be ordained pastor, and if I forget what to say before benediction, I will say forgotten. But okay. Last Sunday, before Dana's ordination begins, I went down to see Cool Kids, and I met a wonderful boy whose name is Alex. I already shared with some of you, but that was the most precious moment for me during this internship. And oh, here's Alex. There he is. What's your name? I asked. And he replied, I'm Alex, and I'm a Korean. I was quite surprised because I did not know that he is a Korean until he introduced himself to me. And so when Sunbae was introducing me to Cool Kids, he raised his hand, but Sunbae could not see. And then I asked him again, why did you raise your hand? And he said, because I wanted to say that I'm also Korean. And that was so lovely to me, and it reminded me of my children and my church. I was challenged by Alex, and I must go back and build a culture and safe space so that my students would learn to love who they are and cherish their own identity, just as Alex does, and as all you do, all of you do. Now I'm going to sing a song that I wrote last year. It's about God who made me as his masterpiece. And we are all his masterpiece. And my kids, and Alex, and Cool Kids, everyone. After I go back to Korea, only by God's unfailing, secure, and stable love, I can love my biracial students. And I really want to say this, and I have seen that unconditional love here that drives us to dig deep into who we are rather than learning to conform to the dominant culture. Indeed, I have been loved by you, this wonderful community, Ken. Special thanks to Pastor Jin for being wonderful mentor of me and for allowing me fall asleep during seminary classes. And also thanks to awesome roommates who are living in Pink House. You will be deadly missed. And once again, I do appreciate for your hospitality, and I look forward to our solidarity so that we can make our world better as God designed it in the first place. So I'm going to sing a song, and then Korean song, but you can see the meaning. And right after then, I will play a song. I didn't write lyrics yet, but I wanted to describe your wonderful community and lovely fellowship. Maybe you can feel. So this is a gift for Ken. Thank you. Let me move to the piano first.
그분만이 나를 온전케 해. 내가 연약할수록 주를 의지해 주님 나를 인도하시네. 너는 나의 사랑, 내가 만든 나의 최고의 작품. 나를 떠나 방황할 때도 너를 포기할 수 없지. 그분은 나의 죄 못 본 척 덮으셨고 쓰러진 나를 일으키사 새롭게 고치시네. 나 무엇으로 보답할까? 십자가 사랑 끝이 없네. 주님만이 나의 피난처, 나의 피할 바위 되시네. 주님만이 나의 피난처, 나의 피할 바위 되시네.
am so lucky to have Hemi before me with song. So you guys are, you know, already opened your heart. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Eunyoung Kwon. I'm one of the three interns from Korea, as you know. It has been 21 days at Ken, and I am so grateful to have an opportunity to share my testimony with you today. Since my arrival, I have experienced so many wonderful things and met so many beautiful people of God. Yes, I'm talking about you. Yeah, you guys are so beautiful. Because of this internship at Ken, I have changed and grown a lot in spirit, soul, and physical. Pastor Jin and other staff members and their families have offered me so many great chances and times so that I can experience and explore them with high risk and low anxiety. I have been given a space and time to breathe. That means it is okay for me to make a mistake, which is hard to be found in most environments I have had. At Ken, I could participate in a certain event or meeting or not participate in with my own free will. I think this is one of the reasons why there are so many happy, non-paid volunteer staff members and leaders in Ken. You are allowed to be just you. One of the great experiences I have had was to go to a movie titled A Man Called Ove. It is a Swedish movie based on the 2012 novel by Frederick Backman. And how many of you have seen the movie? Oh, only a few, yeah. Okay, thank you. And let me tell you a little bit about the story. This is from the internet preview, so the language is so beautiful. Okay, so Ove, the main character, he is a commercial, the kind of man who points at people he dislikes as if they were burglars caught outside his bedroom window. He has staunch principles, strict routines, and a short fuse. People call him the bitter neighbor from hell. However, okay, where is it? Oh, yeah. Behind the cranky exterior, there is a story and a sadness. So, when one November morning, a chatty young couple with two chatty young daughters move in next door and accidentally flatten Obed's mailbox, it is lead in to a comical and heartwarming tale of unkempt cats, unexpected friendship, and the ancient art of backing up a U-Haul, all of which will change one cranky old man and a local residents association to their very foundations. Yeah. While I was watching the end of this movie, I was overwhelmed with full of joy because I realized that my Almighty God had listened to my heart and answered my wish. Only that morning, I had witnessed a beautiful and wonderful Lady Dana become officially Pastor Dana. I was told that she had been waiting for 15 years to be an ordained pastor. Even her dear friend Maggie had to wait for about 12 years to see this happen. But God gave me such an honor and privilege to be a witness to this historical moment. I enjoyed every second of the ceremony and her benediction. In fact, I videotaped the entire ceremony and benediction and gave the contents to Jinsu to make it nicer. So if you want to see them again, you can ask Jinsu, of course, with Pastor Dana's permission. Why Dana's ordination mattered to me? Because I can imagine how hard for her to wait for. Because I can feel how painful she was during the processing time. Because I have also had very similar painful waiting experiences. My barrier this occasion was my parents. I wanted to be a pastor, but they didn't approve my calling. Even though they wished the best for me, they didn't want me to be a pastor. They only wished me to be a pastor's wife. Why? My parents were born and raised in Korea, and with their limitation of exposure to the Western Christianity, where you can see many female pastors along with male pastors, my parents, they had no idea or concept of woman as a pastor. Simply, they couldn't see me as a pastor. Of course, I could make a choice to pursue the path without my parents' blessing, just like Pastor Dana had her choice. She could stop the painful process and walked out, but she had waited, and I had waited too. After 15 years of long waiting with endurance, finally, my parents realized my true vocation and calling as an ordained pastor and gave me their blessings when I entered to the PUTS seminary 2 years ago. When I was watching Pastor Dana's ordination, I saw faith, hope, and love. I think Pastor Dana had faith throughout the whole process of ordination. With or without ordination, many people here told me that she had been a true pastor whom was called by God. So did I. I had a faith on my calling as a pastor, and I had and have a faith Jesus is my Savior and lives in me. And through Jesus' blood, I have been redeemed and became a new creation. And he gave me a role of a pastor. Of course, the world has fallen and become crazy rapidly, but I still have a faith that Jesus is a Savior, and whomever believes in him can be healed and be a new creation. And I believe that our God, who sent Jesus to me, is still in control over this world. With living experience at Fink House and visiting other community houses, I have learned what living together feels like, looks like. Living together requires loving each other, loving one another. And guess what? What I have learned at Ken is already written in the Bible. So, yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. People, or I can say my family members at Fink House, are exercising this kind of love I just described. My Fink House family members are patient and kind. They don't envy nor boast. My family members at Fink House are not proud. They honor each other. They are not self-seeking nor easily angered, and they don't keep record of each other's wrongs. I have learned that when you really love someone, and that love is healthy and pure from God, you can give everything you have, even your life, as Jesus did for us. God loves this world so much and gave his only son. I have had great time here in terms of living, loving, and learning. I have learned so much while I have been living with my Fink House family. Now I know I feel being loved when my favorite hugger of Ken, Marie, hugs me with her warm heart and welcoming gestures. Now I know I feel loved when my great master of coffee making, Isaac, teaches me with his attentive listening and kind instructions with affirmation of smile and encouragement. Now I know I feel loved when my dear intercessors in Ken, such as Deacon Cindy, Deacon Myung-chan, and members of prayer team, and also, of course, friends in Korea, pray for me to be lifted to God's hand and his will. Kenners, can I say that, Kenners? You guys are such an expert in loving. Of course, living, loving, and learning are not easy to do. But let's remember, God is love, and he demonstrates his own love for us. Christ died for us when we were still sinners. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. And that almighty but humble God lives in us. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit helps us to learn and grow to be mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So that's how we can live, love, and learn from each other. That is hope I see. I can see in me and in here, Ken. At the end of Daniel's ordination, there was an announcement of new birth with a newly born baby Sebastian's picture on the screen. New life. With a place like this, Ken, where both genders have a good partnership and relationship with each other and do worship and serve God together as leaders, I can see hope. With a place like Ken, where a symbol of new creation is visible, as we see baby Sebastian's birth and new female pastor's ordination. When I saw baby Sebastian's picture, automatically I thought of death. If I see a death, that would be completed for me to understand of life. That's what I thought at the service in my mind. And now, at the cinema, I saw a death of a way. I was so glad that my God cared for my thought. And at the same time, I was so overjoyed that I didn't have to witness actual death at Cannes. I felt so relieved and thankful to God. God is most gracious to me. Amen. I don't know what kind of life you have been or which season of spiritual life you are living now, but one thing I am sure is that God loves you and sent you Jesus. And no hardship or persecution or power cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Romans 8:38-39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you so much for listening to my testimony, and may God bless you and your family and this country too. Amen. Thank you. Amen. And can I pray for you?
Amen.
Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, what you have done for us. Thank you for your love. Your love endures forever and more. God, you are good. Lord, we give you praise for your mercy and your peace. We give you praise for your steadfast love. We give you praise for your safety. We give you praise for your justice. For your salvation, Lord, that is sure and true to all who has believed. Now I ask you, Lord, let you begin to pour out your spirit over this church, the body of Christ Jesus, the children of God, so that no one in this church would be the same again. Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace. We praise your name, O Lamb of God. Amen.
Thank you to our three. Kilian, do you want to continue? Okay. Well, I'll say a few words. These are three people that came from the same seminary, but it's a very large seminary, and they actually didn't know each other very well as they came together, but they had to work together as a team. And from our point of view, they could just be seen as three seminarians here together from the same school, but they're each uniquely made in God's image and have their own personal journeys, and I have been real blessed to be part of their journey for the last few weeks. And thank you, Eunyoung, for your beautiful testimony. She told me that she's going to go from here straight to Honduras, and it's kind of like a mission, but I think Eunyoung has been challenged to consider it more an opportunity for solidarity. We don't do mission here with one another. We do family. And that means being a solid presence in each other's life, being real with one another. That's what solidarity means. It means being real and not doing something for. And Hemi, yeah, we thought that she was just jet lagged for 3 weeks, but as she said, it began to dawn on her and to those of us who were interacting with her on a daily basis that she really needed rest. As she said, she was exhausted from a lot of things, but really exhausted from life. And recognizing that life is not a performance, but life is about being with God and in God and in God's beloved community. So we gave her a chance to rest and rediscover what it means that God is Lord of the Sabbath. And it's people that demand endless work from one another. God doesn't. God is just fine with who we are. And it's been a real joy to see Hemi open up and see that God does not demand anything of her, but just her own well-being. And that is her role now to minister to others, especially those biracial and multiracial children that God has entrusted to her care, to love them just as they are. And I had a long talk with Gil-hyun yesterday, and we had a meal together and coffee and a walk. And he's in the middle of figuring out who he is and what his life is about. And I appreciate that, Gil-hyun, you began to testify to us. And I know that you wanted to share the whole thing, but he's right in the middle of it. And we got a chance to be with you in that in-between time. So thank you for being vulnerable and honest about that journey. One of the things we talked about yesterday was we can't change the facts of our lives, the things that happened, but we can change the angle. We have agency over how we see it. You have heard it said that the world views things in this way. We have heard the world say this is successful and this is a failure. But Jesus says unto us something entirely different. This is what it means when he talks about the kingdom breaking in. The kingdom's values are radically different than the values of this world. And I was real blessed to be with Gil-hyun yesterday as he was wrestling with the kingdom breaking into his life and giving him a whole new angle in which to narrate his life. In fact, just earlier this morning when he was speaking, was the first time he's ever publicly shared that he was a college dropout. That itself is one of the biggest things that Gil-hyun has done. And I'm so grateful for this community to be a safe and welcoming and affirming enough place for him to make that declaration publicly. And I think it's going to open up a whole new way for him to take agency over how he tells the story of his life. So I also thank the congregation for being the kind of community where three people from a completely different country can come into our life and our little world and be changed just as we ourselves have been changed through their witness. So thank you so much. We thank God for you and pray God's richest blessings upon you as you go on your way. Amen. And now, let us give to God what belongs to God, or just a little portion of all that God has given to us. What a blessing it is for us to be in the middle of God's life as God is with us.